Already.
She can't keep up that pace.
Don't you be too sure. She and that horse understand each other. I wouldn't be surprised if she doesn't romp home and surprise everybody.
Well, if she does, she's a bit of a fraud. Didn't let us in on it.
Hasn't let anybody in on it, judging by the betting. They're offering eights.
Where's the grey that Betty Cartwright's riding?
Lying fourth. Taking it steady.
Oh, Chris and Midden, I can never keep up that rate. Not with Plough to negotiate. She'll have had it by the time they start back in for home again.
Oh, listen to Dismal Desmond.
Don't blame the poor man. He had a very bad night.
Yeah, you can say that again.
Yeah, you shouldn't have all these night parties. Leave you with a thick head and a bad temper, my boy.
Just lack of sleep. Nothing to do with the party, either. Fetch out in the middle of the night to look after the refrigeration plant.
Well, it's not your job, surely.
Oh!
By Jove, Harkness was well clear of that lot.
One of them's down.
Ah, they were too bunched going over the jump.
Ah, the grey's still loping along very comfortably, though. Bags of reserve there, I'll bet. And Betty Cartwright uses her head as well as her hands. I still think she'll be there at the finish.
Oh, blow Betty Cartwright. You concentrate on our Chris.
Yeah, now I come to think of it, Paul said something to me last night that Chris was going to keep well out of the ruck if she could.
Yes, I begin to see why. There are one or two pretty green horses and riders in this field.
Yeah.
The ladies' race is becoming far too popular.
Chris is increasing her lead.
So, watch her over this next jump. It's a pig.
Good old Chris!
Huh? Seems to have plenty of strength there, Phil. No sign of flagging.
Come on, Chris!
She can't hear you.
Oh, very nice, Chris. Damn it, she's increasing her lead. Yeah. And over the next one, no trouble at all.
Now for that long uphill drag there. And Betty Cartwright's decided she let enough daylight in between her and the leader.
Aye, it's coming up to second place now.
Only two horses in it, Christine and the grey, and the rest nowhere.
Come on up, Chris!
Hold on, Alice, and I'm first by eardrums.
Well, give the girl some encouragement.
Hey, midnight's flagging a bit. See there?
Oh, rubbish and stuff.
Aye, Phil's right. I wonder if Chris can hold her up long enough.
She's all right.
Well, watch this next jump. That'll show.
Ah, she's holding that lead. If she can coax Midnight over the last few jumps, she'll manage it yet.
Yeah, come on. Hold your breath. Now then, Chris, gather her.
Oh, gosh. She's down.
The horse seemed to change its mind about the jump halfway over. Ah, Chris meant to purl her, too.
Dan, what do you think she's done?
She's getting up.
Oh.
Good old Chris. See that shake of the head? Always the same when she comes a cropper. Always gets up with an aggrieved expression and shakes her head at herself.
Is she all right?
Yes, she's remounting. Hard lines, old girl. But she certainly gave Betty Cartwright a run for her money.
She did jolly well.
I'll bet Chris doesn't think so. I bet she's cussing herself to death right now. Everything in her favour, and she goes and does a belly flopper across a perfectly simple jump. Hey ho. That's point to pointing, that is.
Shula, you've had yours. I've got to get Daddy's now.
Hey, cufflinks missing, Jill. I looked everywhere. I must have some decent ones today. I'm lunching with Grenville in some big pot from somewhere or other.
On the dresser in the little china tray.
God, what a place to put them. Honestly. No wonder I looked everywhere.
You left them in the shirt you took off, and I nearly sent them away with the laundry. Two fried eggs or one?
Hey, well, I'm on a diet, supposed to be. Reducing, you know. Getting a bit too chubby.
Two eggs or one?
Two, please. Mm. You know, there's no need for you to get up every morning and get breakfast. I can cope. Hey, hold it. Hang on, Shula. Have a heart this time in the morning.
What's your daddy saying to you, eh? He's an old grumps this morning, isn't he?
Well, just don't fancy the old spoon and plate obligato at 7 in the morning. But to get back to the point, I could get breakfast as easy as pie.
I like getting breakfast. Oh, Phil, do remember to see about the home help for when the new baby arrives. You have to book up awfully early.
Yes, yes, but it's just as easy for you to ring up, surely.
All right. You just said you'd do it, so I left it to you.
You always get somebody to help out anyway.
But these home helps specialise in maternity jobs. They're used to them, and they know how to work in with a district nurse. After all, there are small twins to cope with as well as the new one.
Well, it was your idea to have the child at home, not mine. Oh, I know you adopt a hurt silence every time I say this, darling, but it really is going to be a complicated menage here at Coombe Farm, with all the farm work to cope with, the two nips and a maternity ward, complete with doctor, nurse, and what have you.
Well, I'm afraid it's too late now to do anything about it. I certainly shouldn't get a bed in a nursing home now.
Oh, I don't know, Jill. I reckon we could get you in somewhere, all right.
But why shouldn't I have the baby here, in my own home, amongst the people I love? Why should I be pushed off to a hospital or nursing home for a fortnight, when I'm perfectly all right and healthy? It isn't as if it were my first baby or there were any complications. I'm about the most uncomplicated mother-to-be that ever happened.
Are those my eggs?
Yes.
Well, they're going hard. I like them soft.
Hard or soft, you'll get them in your eye at the rate you're going on. Oh, do be quiet, Shula. You must realize that if more women had their babies at home, there'd be more beds for women who really needed hospital care.
Maternity homes with every modern aid and comfort are there for the special purpose for which they exist. You'd have the child in absolute comfort.
And with a lot less inconvenience for Philip Archer. Here, get on with your breakfast.
No need to break the plate.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Kenton, if you drop that once more, I'll... Have you spoken to your mother about it?
No. What's she got to do with it?
She thinks it's a fine idea for me to have the baby here.
Oh, Mum, well, she would.
I'd rather listen to her on the subject than you.
Yes, that's obvious.
I can see the best thing I can do is to get the district nurse to talk to you and talk some sense into that thick, stubborn head of yours. Now, I'm not going to talk to you on the subject anymore. And if you're going to bring it up every morning like this at breakfast time, then I shall let you get up and get your own, so there.
Well, Dom's all right, Jack. He's safe enough.
Still leaves us two or three short.
What's the matter with everybody these days?
All too busy watching the telly to come out and play skittles, is that it?
Oh, I don't know, Jack. Folks these days don't seem to take no interest in manly sports like darts and skittles and crib.
No?
No. Young chaps are more for telly and skiffle. Ain't even interested in the wenches, it seems to me. I don't know, funny sort of generation we've brung up.
Oh, no worse than any other, I dare say. How many are you short?
Three.
We should have a job to get them. What about Dowie Hood?
No. Got someone else on that night. Taking Rita Flint to the pitchers, I reckon.
And the best of luck. Now let's see now. Bill Sawyer. You asked him?
Bill? No, I forgot him. Yeah, I asked Bill, he might play.
He'll play, all right. Is John down to play?
John Tregaron?
Yeah.
He's another doubtful starter.
Oh, well, if he's only doubtful, we'll soon persuade him. Now, I only want one more, and you're complete.
Oh, that's if Bill and John says yes. Well, I'll be blowed. Just the answer.
Hello, Jack.
Oh, Phil.
Hello. Hey, watch out in, Phil, lad. On your old goddaddy. Now, come on.
No, thanks, Walter, no. Jack, I just looked in to ask if you and your family are going to have Sunday tea with us. It's an invitation from Jill.
What, all of us? Kids as well?
Yeah, I told Jill she was mad, spoiling our nice, quiet Sunday like that, but she insisted.
Well, egg's out. I'll ask her when she comes in.
Well, we'll take it that you accept, unless we hear to the contrary.
Okay, thanks.
Just a minute, Phil. Mm-hmm. You're more right for Wednesday night, then.
Wednesday night?
Yeah, Skittles team. Playing the cock and magpie. Home match here at the Bull.
I don't know anything about it.
Ooh, we are that, Jack.
Yes.
And he promised faithfully he'd play for us. I was depending on you, Phil.
Me? Said I'd play? When did I say
relying
that?
Relying on you, we was.
But I never play now, not recently.
No? Well, we knows you men pecked and under the thumb, Phil Ladron, you know. That's why we never asks you as a rule. But seeing as you was eager to play this time, well, we thought maybe you'd get a night off the lead, like.
I am not henpecked and under the thumb. I just think it's been unfair to leave Jill alone a lot just now. I've been out three or four nights on the trot as it is. Wednesday I'm going to have a nice quiet night in with Jill and the kids.
If your missus won't let you come out on a Wednesday night, well, there it is. We understand. We've been married ourselves.
I tell you, it isn't Jill who's stopping me from coming out. As if she would.
Now, stop kidding, Phil. We understand.
Look, if I wanted to play on Wednesday, Jill wouldn't stop
it's
me.
It's all right, Phil. Don't worry, lad.
We all understand.
But if I wanted to play, I'd play.
Good, then. That's settled. You'll help us out, then. If you wants to play, you can play. Well, we see we're one man short, you know, and you've got us out of an hole, Phil. Yes, you have, thanks.
But I didn't say I'd play. I just said if I wanted to play, there was nothing to stop
me. Well, that's fine, then. You wouldn't deliberately refuse now, would you? And leave us high and dry.
Of course, if you'd rather ask Jill's permission to come out before you tell us definitely,
I don't have to get Jill's permission or anybody else's.
That's settled.
Good old Phil. You've saved our bacon. Now have a drink to settle the matter.
No, I can't. I've got to get home. Yeah. You know, I seem to have been wangled into this lot on Wednesday somehow. I don't know, a real mug I am. Well, don't forget Sunday, Jack.
Yeah, no. And don't you forget Wednesday, Phil.
No, I won't.
Oh, you wicked old devil, Walter. Now I bet poor old Phil gets into a dickens of a row with
you. Well, you was just as bad. In any case, it's up to Phil to make a stand now in the early days of his marriage. If he gives way all along the line now, he'll make his life a burden to himself before he's been married 10 years. Once let the missus be boss and whoops, it's all over.
That you, Phil?
Yeah.
Wipe your feet, please. The hall's been polished.
Yeah. Feet wiped.
Hello.
Hello. Call and see your dad.
Yeah. Kids all right?
Yes, fine. All in bed. How is your dad?
He's in bed, too.
I know that, silly. How is he?
Going along very nicely, so sister told me.
That's what they always say.
That's what they always say if you're going along very nicely, not otherwise.
Is he still fretting and fuming?
Oh, yes. He's got some weird idea in his head that Brookfield Farm was left unattended on Wednesday night so that Mum could sit in here.
Oh, and was it left unattended?
Oh, I shouldn't think so. Was she babysitting here at Coombe Farm?
Yes.
What, here? Wednesday? The night I played skittles?
Yes.
But why?
Because I went out.
Well, you never told me.
I didn't think you'd be interested.
But, well, Mum wasn't here when I got back.
You were very late. I was in bed, remember?
Oh, yeah. That's right. Well, who took Mum home, then?
Oh, it was all organised, don't worry. The person I went out with took your mother home.
Oh.
Your supper's all ready. The soup simmering and the game pie will melt in your mouth.
Oh. Who'd you go out with? Where'd you go?
A friend of mine who happened to be demonstrating in Borchester.
Oh, that girl married him.
Right, first time.
Well, she's a bit of a fast madam.
I know. Shall I do you something for a sweet, or will cheese and biscuits do?
Where'd you go?
Ooh. Cruise round all the old haunts.
Well, you never said a word to me about it. Not a word.
No. Well, I made up my mind rather late. You know, same as you made up your mind rather late about playing skittles. I thought we might try that claret John Tregoran gave us with the game pie.
Go to the devil with the claret and the game pie. I'm going to wash my hands. I'll be down in a minute.
Hey ho. I think we shall need that claret somehow.
Phil and Jill's third baby is due to arrive very shortly. And there's a further arrival in the village, Helen Fairbrother, stepmother of Phil's first wife, Grace.
Ah, the usual game food, if you please. Oh, I got a bit short and I want some for the pens. Hmm? Do I? Oh, you have? Right, all then, I'll be in to collect some this afternoon. Ah, thank you. Cheerio. Oh, well, thank goodness for that. Oh, hello, Mrs. Fairbrother.
Hello, Tom. Is Philip here?
Well, he can't be far away, ma'am. He only popped out of bed a couple of minutes ago while I was on the phone here about some game food.
I rather wanted to see him.
Oh, he shouldn't be long. I expect he's just nipped across to Mr. Craddock's office. Or perhaps to give Mr. West the timesheets for the wages tomorrow.
In that case, I'll wait a minute or two, then.
Yes, has Mr. Fairbrother got any good fishing down there, ma'am?
He isn't exactly in the mood for fishing yet.
No. Oh, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. I can see Philip there in the yard.
Oh, good.
Hey, Phil.
Yeah? What's up, Uncle Tom?
Mrs. Fairbrother's in the office here. She wants to see you.
Right. I'll be in a couple of days.
Fair enough. Ah, he's on his way there, Mrs. Fairbrother.
Thank you, Tom.
Well, and what does it feel like to be living away from Ambridge?
Oh, it's too early to say yet. It's a relief to find Mr. Fairbrother looking so much better, though.
Yes, it must be.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Fairbrother.
Hello, Philip.
I heard you were back in the village.
How's Jill?
Oh, fine, thanks.
Good. Oh, I'm off to Borchester, Phil. I want to pick up some game food. Running a bit short.
Cheerio.
Cheerio, Uncle Tom. Right here. There you couldn't keep away from the old place, eh, Mrs. Fairbrother? The old magnet draws, does it?
Well, it isn't entirely a social visit, Philip.
Huh?
That's why I've come to see you.
Don't tell me there's some stray ends we left untied.
No, not exactly.
Well, I'm all ears. What do you want doing?
Nothing, thanks. Look, I'll come straight to the point. I've something in my handbag here I'd like you to see. Before I show it to you, I must explain that George and I felt for some time, from the moment we knew we were leaving Ambridge, in fact, that something should be done about Grace.
Grace?
After all, Ambridge is her last resting place.
Yes, I don't need reminding.
I'm sure you don't, Philip. Well, there you are. Have a look at that.
Well, what on earth?
Some time ago, we asked an expert to design us a stained glass window as a memorial to Grace.
Oh.
That's the final approved design. All the formalities have now been gone through, and it's going to be installed in place of one of the plain windows in the parish church.
Oh.
Well, why that expression? Don't you approve?
Well, I do feel I might have been consulted about this before now, I mean. After all, I was her husband.
It's exactly for that reason that George and I thought you'd be the last person to object.
Oh, I'm not objecting. I think it's a very nice gesture.
It'll be leaving the village with something to remind them of her.
Oh, yes, it'll do that.
And beautify the church.
Yes, it certainly will.
Well, from your tone, you don't sound entirely convinced about this, Philip. Both George and I wish to leave behind us some sort of suitable memorial.
Oh, yes, that's understandable enough.
Then why that expression? Surely you approve, don't you?
Oh, I approve. But it isn't me I was worrying about.
No? Who then?
Well, Jill, that's all.
Oh.
I was wondering what her reaction is likely to be. She may not care to be reminded. So there it was, Jill, love. A fait accompli. They'd said nothing to me about it at all. Oh, I was completely and utterly dumbfounded. I was just presented with it. There is going to be a memorial window in the parish church to Grace.
Well?
Oh, I was only her husband.
You're my husband, too.
Yes, I know that, but... Oh, dash it. When we came here to Coombe Farm, you said you wanted to erase those features of the place that expressed Grace's personality. Now, didn't you?
I said so. Yes. What's more, I did it. Was a bit uncomfortable trying to settle down with Grace, but we've done it, haven't we?
Well, I thought we had, till this blessed business of the stained glass window cropped up. I mean, why in the dickens didn't they tell me?
Phil, are you disappointed in me? Ever since I married you, all I seem to be doing is incubating or bringing up children.
Oh, now, look, love.
You might be getting bored with the process.
That's one thing about you, lovey. You can always stop me from being pompous and pretentious. But what is this? A pose of indifference? And surely Grace...
I know you love Grace. But you love me, too. If Grace hadn't died, you wouldn't have loved me. You wouldn't have looked at me.
I think that's true.
You know it is.
Yes, Jill, I think I do.
I would have gone through fire and water for my algebra master.
Huh?
Well, you know, you grow up. Oh, blast.
Oh, dear, what's up with him?
Nothing, so far as I know. All right, Mummy's here.
Oh, you see to one, I'll see to the other.
Right.
Yeah, what sort of jollof have you been feeding him today?
Only the usual, tin broth and stuff.
Well, did you take the tin off first?
Of course not. What is it there?
What? Oh, must have been the rhubarb and custard. Oh,
don't be a clock, I didn't have any. All right, child, you're being taken care of. There, then. What about Shula?
Oh, only crying in sympathy, Jill. Dry as a bone.
Well, thank heaven for that. Less for the spin dryer. You are a bit of an old show-off, aren't you? Who would ever have a boy?
Never know your luck. All right, old touchy. Not to worry, only Dad.
You know, I've noticed they seem to take an emotional old how-do-you-do when we do.
Hmm?
I've seen it before.
Oh, psychic, eh?
Psychic or sensitive. Charlie boy, he is ready for sleep again.
Oh, good.
Having pronounced his verdict on the world situation.
All right, love. Not a bad brace, Jill.
Hmm.
What's the next going to be?
I'll take even money. It's either a boy or a girl.
No bet. You reckon they'll be all right now?
Yes. Come on.
Right.
I'll have to cut down on his barley water or something.
Darling.
Yes?
Would you mind?
The window, do you mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. I really don't know.
Mm.
I'd be glottish if I did, I suppose, but I honestly don't know, Phil. I suppose it'll be there when the five of us go to church.
Oh, years hence.
Yes, years hence.
But really, do you mind?
A stained glass window. Against those two in there. Against the heartbeat I've got inside me. Against what I know about you as my husband.
Oh, you're too good to be true, you are.
Phil, I know you loved her. But it is possible to love more than one person in your life. I accept that you loved her. You love me too, don't you?
Oh, darling. You know I do.
Then I don't mind. About the window, I mean.
Jill, can't you keep those kids a bit quieter? I'm trying to add up.
Sorry, kids are kids and that's that and all about it. They're having fun.
Yes, well, I wish they'd make less noise having it.
Never mind, dear. They'll be starting school very soon.
Oh, yes. I must go and see the headmaster at Valley House.
Valley House?
A prep school near Borchester. For Kenton.
Kenton is not going to any Valley House. He's going to the village school, and so is Shula.
They're not, you know. They're both going to private schools.
That's what you think.
That isn't what I think, it's what I know.
Oh, is it now?
Yes, it is. And for one very good reason.
Which is?
But I booked both Kenton and Shula and little David into private schools before they were a year old. And what's more, I paid a 5-guinea deposit fee for each of them. So don't talk about village schools to me.
You're joking, I hope.
I am not joking.
But you never mentioned it the last time we discussed this. Why wasn't I consulted?
Well, there's no need to consult you. I was doing the right thing by my children.
Our children, if you don't mind.
Oh, sorry, our children, then. The point is, there's no argument. It's already laid on.
Then you can lay it off again.
I don't lose my 5-guinea deposits and be made to look a fool. Oh, no.
You had the nerve to decide what to do with our children without even consulting me.
Well, I assumed that, like me, you wanted to do the best possible thing for our children. Was I wrong or something?
Sure. Look, don't let's get all steamed up about this.
Well, don't tell me it's not important enough to get steamed up about.
Everything is important. But it doesn't make it more important to get steamed up about it. So let's just be quiet and rational.
Was it irrational, then, to put the kids down for decent schools?
Well, yes, I think so. Not so much irrational as plain downright snobbish.
Oh, no, not that old load of rubbish. Snobbish. Oh.
I think...
Look, let me tell you what you're about to say, shall I? It's this. I didn't go to a private school, so why should I send my children to a private school? Look, Jack and Peggy had exactly the same arguments, and I know all the pros and cons.
Except that Jack didn't send Anthony William to a private school, did he? Not permanently.
No, and I think he made the wrong decision. His wife talked him out of it. Well, my wife isn't talking me out of it.
They decided against it on the grounds of expense.
Well, that doesn't arise in our case.
Eh? Say that again.
Expense doesn't arise in our case.
Well, now you do surprise me. So suddenly we're rich all at once.
Oh, we're nothing of the kind.
Then explain, will you?
Yeah. When Grace died, I came into a certain amount of money that she'd left to me. I've always kept it. And when I married you, I decided that that money would be securely locked up to provide an education for any children we might have. So, you needn't worry about expense.
I needn't worry about expense, eh?
No, you needn't.
Another woman's money is paying for the education of my children.
Our children.
A woman, not me, but a woman you loved, married, lived with, and knew intimately before you met me. She is educating our children. And I'm not even to be consulted.
Look, money is money. Can't you dissociate it from people? The money is there, waiting to be used constructively and usefully.
Why did you marry me?
What?
I'm asking, why did you marry me?
Well, because I fell in love with you.
You're sure about that?
Well, aren't you?
For the first time, I'm beginning to wonder if you weren't just looking for a healthy young woman who could bear the children that were denied to you by the death of Grace.
What?
So that you could...
I don't think I want to listen to any more of this, Jill. As you say, I did think I married a healthy young woman, yes. And now I begin to wonder if I didn't marry a female neurotic who can be jealous of someone who's been dead for 7 years. Honestly, how difficult can you get?
This difficult. What you do with any money your first wife left you is entirely your own affair. But you are not using it to send my children, to a toffee-nosed, got-to-keep-up-with-the-Joneses private school. And that's my last word. I just won't allow it, whatever you say.
Now, listen.
I don't want to listen. I don't even want to talk about it. I don't even want to talk to you at the moment about anything. I'm going to lie down and think things out. How dare you do this to me? How dare you?
I dare because I thought you were a normal mother who wanted the best for her kids. Same as I do. Women. What can you do with them?
One thing about our village school, Phil, is that we've got a good headmistress. She's been there for years, old Elsie Catcher.
Yes, or old Elsie Cat. That's what they call her, you know.
I know, and I think it's rude of them.
Well, the kids learn the name as soon as they go to school, and it sticks. Of course, in my day, we had a headmaster, Bungie Thomas. Good old Bungie. He retired, you know. Went to live at the seaside. Wonder if he's still alive. Probably not. Ah, nice chappy, what?
You said that with real affection.
Well, I liked him. He could wield a stick, you know. I can remember the time I had a scrap with Tom Thatcher.
Oh?
I hit him and he fell backwards. His head went through a glass panel in the door of the vestibule of the school.
Ooh.
Well, it didn't hurt old Tom, but did old Bungie wallop me. I felt it for weeks.
I bet you were a horribly aggressive little boy.
Yes, I'm afraid I was. I was a cock of the school. Mind you, that didn't mean much. There were only 17 boys and girls in attendance at the time.
What were you fighting old Tom Thatcher about?
Well, he chucked my conker into the churchyard.
You what?
He chucked my conker into the churchyard.
I don't believe
it. Yeah, it's right. Mind you, old Tom Thatcher had a dose of cane oil as well.
Well, that levelled it up a bit, I suppose.
Yep. Old Bungie carefully examined old Tom Thatcher's head to see if there were any cuts or scratches, mm-hmm. but there weren't. Luckily, he'd never had his hair cut from one year end to the next. So Bungie said... Let's thank the Lord, lad. There's been no damage done to you. Bend over.
I like that, Phil. But seriously, you would say, wouldn't you, that having one teacher you could really rely on, who was always there year after year, who really knew you and your family and had a strong personal interest in your future, was an asset?
Mm. I know what's behind that pretty little speech.
Of course you do. But there really is a strong advantage in letting our children go to the village school. For one thing, we know the headmistress. She's probably not the best brains the profession has to offer.
Yeah.
But she's a dedicated woman who's stuck to her job in this place year after year.
Well, as a matter of fact, I've given it a lot of thought, and I'm beginning to think you may be right, Jill. She might not be so hot on modern methods, but she's got good discipline, and the children respect her, and she slaves like Billy-O to push the 3 hours into their noddles.
And the other thing, Phil, is that there are two of them now. She's got an assistant, Miss Jennings.
Mm.
And as there are so few pupils, that means a lot of individual attention can be given.
Well, I hope the numbers don't go down too far there.
Why is that?
Well, the school at Pennyhasset has closed down because there weren't enough children.
Oh.
They have to go on a bus now to Felpisham.
Anyway, Phil, you're all set for the children to go to the village school?
Well, yes, all right then. I agree, Jill. We'll see what old Elsie Catcher can do with them.
Good.
With the twins now aged 8 and David 7, Jill is busy making preparations for the birth of her fourth baby. While at Brookfield, it's breakfast as usual for Dan and Doris.
And tomatoes, bacon and sausage, Dan. Nice big breakfast.
Ah, smells good anyway.
Wonder how poor Jill's getting on.
Ah, nearer time, isn't she?
Yeah. You won't forget I'm going round there on Sunday and staying for a night or two, will you?
Oh, I had forgotten. She's having this one at home, isn't she?
Oh, hello, Phil. Oh, everything all right?
Oh, yes, thanks, ma'am. Oh. Had a bit of a restless night. Jill didn't seem to be able to settle at all.
Well, never mind, Phil. In a few days' time, you'll have a brand new bouncing baby for your mother to coo over.
And how is Jill this morning, Phil?
Oh, you know her. Up with the lark, had breakfast waiting just as usual when I came in for my first look round. Got the children up and dressed just as if nothing was the matter.
Oh, she's a marvel. She really is. You're a lucky chap, you know, Phil.
Yes, I do know, Mum. Jill's a wife in a million. Mm. That's why... Well, I know I've got a nerve, and I know I shall get it in the neck from Jill, but... Well, do you think you could possibly manage to come round tonight, Mum?
And stay, do you mean?
Yeah, I know it's awkward, but do you think you could?
Well, it all depends whether or not your father
could... Could you manage, Dad?
Well, of course I can, lad. I'm not exactly helpless, you know.
Well, that's a matter of opinion.
Eh?
Well, you see, Jill won't hear of my ringing the doctor or the midwife until she actually says the word, but... Mm. Well, I think she'll leave it as late as possible.
How do you mean?
She'd just hate to get anybody out of bed unnecessarily.
Well, I know you must feel anxious, Phil, but Jill's very sensible. I'm sure she wouldn't raise a scare without good reason.
I wonder where the kids are. They're usually screaming their heads off on the lawn there. Or at least what used to be a lawn till they started to play on it. Anyway, Mum, come in. Jill! Jill!
Jill! Shh, listen.
Eh?
Listen. There's no mistaking that sound, Phil. It's here already. The baby's arrived.
But it can't have. I mean, Jill would have phoned Brookfield. Anyway, where are the kids?
Now, don't panic, Phil. You may not have noticed, but as we swept round the back way, I saw a car at the front. The midwife's car.
What do you mean, the midwife's here? Oh, gosh, I hope Jill's all right.
Now, you calm down, my lad. I'll go up and see what's what. Do something useful. Put the kettle on and make a cup of tea. I'll give you a call the moment I can.
Hello. Brookfield Farm.
Oh, Dan, there you are.
Well, where'd you think I was? Checking up on me, eh?
No, but Dan, the phone's been out of order all day. Jill was trying to ring all afternoon.
Why? Nothing wrong?
Well, yes, I'm afraid there is, Dan.
Oh, law.
Dr. McLaren says there's nothing to worry about, but Jill and the baby have been rushed into Hollerton General.
The baby's born, then?
Yes, a daughter.
Well, what's wrong with it?
Well, all I know is the doctor wants them both there as soon as possible. When I asked if it was serious, he said it was a routine precaution to be on the safe side.
Is it Jill or the baby that's not...
Well, Dan, listen, I don't know. You know what these doctors are, don't tell you much.
No.
Anyway, I'm going to tidy up here, and Phil's going to drop me round at our Chris's, just to make sure Shula and Kenton are all right.
Aye.
He's going to say goodnight to the children, and then he's going on to the hospital. He thinks they might let him see Jill for a few minutes.
Hey, they're not going to lose the baby, are they?
Dr. McLaren said to put that right out of our minds.
Oh, thank heaven.
There are all sorts of things they can do in hospitals these days that were unheard of a few years ago.
Well, we'll just have to hope and pray everything's all right.
Hey, who's that daughter-in-law of yours a-going on?
Oh, fine, thanks. And we think the baby will be all right now.
Another little girl, eh?
Yeah.
Ah, they was talking about it in the ball Friday night.
Well, news travels fast in this village.
What were they going to call the baby?
Well, I don't think they've had time to decide. They did have a couple of names already, a boys and a girls. But at one time it looked as if they'd have to christen it quickly. So I said, why not call it Elizabeth? So they're thinking it over.
Elizabeth Harson.
Yeah.
Sounds all right. Got a nice ring to it, that has.
Well, if they do decide on that, its second name will be Anne.
Elizabeth Ann Archer. That don't sound bad either. Almost as good as Edward Fitzwarren Larkin.
Fitzwarren? Your second name's never Fitzwarren, is it, Ned?
It is, you know, missus. You see, me mum went to this here pantomime just before I was born.
Yeah.
Dick Whittington it was. And there was this big chap with a deep bass voice, playing the part of Alderman Fitzwarren. Anyhow, me mother thought Fitzwarren was a beautiful name, and I reckon her thought if her again it me, I might have a beautiful bass voice and be 6 foot tall. But her was disappointed on both scores. Still, it might have been worse.
Yes, I suppose it might.
Oh, he might have got called Alice. Oh, no, you wouldn't have liked that at all. Bass voice or not.
Oh, I don't know.
And it's ever so nice to see you, Jill.
Thanks for coming, Mum. As you see, I'm absolutely fine.
Everything all right?
Yes, just like clockwork. That's the irony of the situation. It's a poor baby who's not well.
But she's holding her own.
Oh, she's very much better today, thank goodness.
Are they letting you feed her?
Yes, but we've got to get her onto the bottle as soon as possible.
But what about you?
Oh, they'll fix that. I'll be all right, Mum. In fact, when I've had my week or 10 days here, they expect to push me off home.
And leave the baby here?
I'm afraid so. Oh. Tough, isn't it? I shall hate it, I know. But as Phil says, better to be without her for a few weeks now than lose her altogether.
Oh, yes, certainly. A few weeks, though. Does it have to be as long as that?
Between you and me, Mum, I have a feeling it may be longer.
Oh.
I'm rather afraid they may be breaking it to me gently.
Jill's fine, but the baby's been very poorly all day.
Oh, Dan.
But it's holding its own, and hospital's quite hopeful. But Phil's had a word with a specialist.
And has he said what the trouble is?
Ah, he has, love. And I suppose now we have got some information, we can say we know the worst.
Oh, Dan.
I'm sorry, love, but it's not terribly good news, I'm afraid.
We're not going to lose it, are we?
Oh, Gran.
Well, it's very ill, there's no doubt about it. You were right, though, love, in what you were afraid of.
You mean it is a blue baby?
Afraid so.
Oh, dear.
But the specialist confident it's just that and nothing more.
Whatever do you mean?
Well, they say some blue babies are more difficult to treat than others.
Oh, Gran, I am sorry.
Well, we must be thankful that Jill's all right. Mm. She'll be happier now Phil knows exactly what's the matter. You know, I think they've both been trying to act up to each other that things weren't too bad so that t'other wouldn't worry.
It is serious, though, isn't it?
Well, as Phil says, it could be. But the baby's managed to keep going for 5 full days. Well, a bit more, in fact, so all the signs are good.
What does a blue baby mean?
Oh, something to do with its blood, isn't it, Dan? Has to be changed.
No, love, no. Oh. That's what I thought. Apparently those babies go yellow. No, our poor little mite has something wrong with its heart, so its breathing's affected.
Oh, poor little
soul. It doesn't get enough oxygen in its lungs, so they have to keep it as quiet as possible, because it's worse when it cries or feeds, it seems. Mm.
Waiting is the worst part, Phil.
Yeah, always is. Even though they said it was going to be all right.
She's such a little soul to be on an operating table.
I know, love.
How did we come to have a blue baby? That's what I keep asking myself. How did it happen?
Well, it could happen to anybody. They told us that. One of those things.
There was German measles about while I was carrying
her. No, we checked on that. They ruled it out. The baby was too far advanced from the cases we're about.
Must be some reason.
Look, we've been through all this so many times. There's no point in keeping on, Jill.
She must have had a check-up by now.
Yes, I expect the doctor's cleaning up.
Horrid way of putting it.
Oh, no, I mean cleaning himself up after the operation.
Oh.
And as soon as he's ready, he'll come through and tell us, because he told us he would. Now, all we can do is be patient.
Shh, and... Phil, isn't that him?
Oh, yes, that's him. He's coming to tell us. Start hoping and praying, love, and keep your pecker up.
Ah, Mr. and Mrs. Archer, there you are. Shall we go into the office for a moment or two? Just along this way.
Right, we'll follow you.
Dr. Lawson, how...
Let's get into his office and then we can talk undisturbed. Or listen, rather.
In here.
Oh, thanks.
Now then. First, to put your minds at rest. Things are going quite according to plan. But I'd like you to know just what that plan is.
She came through the operation, all right.
Well, you couldn't really call it an actual operation, Mrs. Archer. More of a surgical investigation, which we haven't done earlier... because we wanted the child to build up some strength. And she stood up to this like a little Trojan.
And what did your investigation show?
Well, I'll put it as simply as I can. As we expected, it's shown us that your baby has a narrowed valve preventing blood getting into the main artery supplying the lungs. There's also a hole between the two large pumping chambers.
That sounds awful.
It's an unfortunate thing, Mrs. Archer. But awful in this day and age is much too strong a word.
Sorry. Just seems awful to me.
Jill, do let Dr. Lawson carry on with his explanation.
I'm sorry.
Don't be. You'd be a very unnatural mother if you didn't get over-anxious in a case like this. But to get back to what we plan to do, so that you know just as well as we do. In 2 months' time, we shall operate on little Elizabeth.
Mm. Poor little mite.
It's a preliminary operation to widen the narrowed pulmonary valve after 3 months old, and you don't have to have any sleepless nights over it.
Is that the end, then?
Well, it's the end for the time being. The end of the beginning, so to speak.
Mm. You mean she'll have to have another operation?
In 5 years' time, yes. But that's a long, long way away.
And during that 5 years, will she be like a normal baby?
She'll be at home, and you'll be given the fullest possible instructions and help to ensure that all goes well.
Well, that gives us more hope, Doctor.
Always hope. I think it was Shakespeare who said, "The miserable have no other medicine but only hope." Well, he might be right about the miserable, but with the sick today, there's hope and lots of it, allied to spectacular advances in modern medicine. So you two have no cause to be miserable. Keep smiling and hoping. I know it's easy to say, but it's fully justified. Your baby is growing stronger every day, and she's going to be all right.